back. This is 180. I'm your host, Carl Claussen. Great to have you with me today. This is such an important topic. We've been walking through now for a few months a great work called What We Believe and Why. If you haven't picked up a copy yet, do so. WhatWeBelieveAndWhy.com. And we'll get one out to you post-haste. As you follow along, you'll notice, and if you've been listening every week, and I'm sure you have, we are into some interesting territory with George Koch. It's called heresy. And the clarification that we've had has been immense. Let me bring him in right now. George, good to have you with me today.
Carl, it's always a delight to be here with you.
Pastor at Resurrection Church, right, my friend?
Yes, sir, in West Chicago.
West Chicago. Anglican. And you've been a place of refuge for a lot of Episcopalian pastors as of late.
That's true. The Episcopal Church has really, really struggled, both with its theology and with its, let's just say wrongheadedness. And it's thrown off a lot of faithful pastors and members in the process. And some of them have been collected together in the province that we're a part of, called the Anglican Church in North America.
It's amazing how God continues to preserve his gospel, and I'm so grateful that you're a part of it.
Thank you.
George, let's jump in. But before we hit a topic that, as if you're out there listening right now, when I say the words unpardonable sin, some of you think, oh my goodness, yeah, have I done it? We know that that's a commonly asked question, so we're going to tackle that in a minute. But before we get into that, I just want to paint an overview picture of how we disagree with the issue of heresy.
Well, there are a couple of issues here that are important to start out with. I don't know about you, but for myself, the very challenge of discussing heresies and heterodoxies makes my head hurt.
Because it's so painful.
It's painful, and the disagreements that people have are not, I don't believe that they need to be artificially nice. I think it's okay to wrestle and really wrestle with issues. It really opens up a space in each of us for the Spirit of God to come in and give us some discernment and some wisdom. But what often happens instead is that in those debates, we grow bitter and angry toward one another, and we say things that really are a violation of the way Jesus has taught us to treat each other.
Yeah.
And I find those both personally painful, but also just inexcusable in a church founded by Jesus Christ.
At the end of the day, if we don't have a spirit of love, we're a clanging gong.
We are. Jesus said there are two fundamental commandments. The first is to love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then he said, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And then he said this most extraordinary thing right there. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, everything that had gone before, the entire Old Testament, everything taught and learned there is dependent upon and subject to and must submit to those two commandments.
I was sharing on air the other day that very thing. I said, some of you have a hard time with the Old Testament. I said, Jesus made it real easy. Well, he did. In a few short words, he summed up the law and the prophets. I was reading in the Genesis account the other day, and it's amazing to me how the reason Noah became Noah is because of corruption and violence. And I thought about corruption and violence. Those are violations of the first and second commandment.
Absolutely right.
And this is why we need to be attentive to corruption and violence around us right now, because we are affected by it. God's taken out an entire people group called planet Earth at one point. He was so grieved by it. So it all dovetails together.
And let's be clear, we each of us have corruption in ourselves.
Absolutely. But there truly are levels of corruption, and there's levels
there
of violence.
No question.
No question about it. Okay. So 180 listener, here's the bottom line. If you're gleeful over heresy and getting into arguments, you got the wrong spiritual posture.
Exactly.
And you need to repent of it, don't you, George?
You do. The whole approach to doctrine at all, and certainly to heresy and heterodoxy, has got to be a desire to know the truth. And it's that truth that sets us free. It should not be a desire to beat up somebody else and win. That should never be the goal of discussion of doctrine. Even if we deeply disagree, the goal should be to have a better understanding of what God desires from us.
Right on. George Koch is my guest, author of What We Believe and Why. You can get a copy at whatwebelieveandwhy.com. Okay, George, people get freaked out when they hear unpardonable sin.
Oh, of course.
Because they wonder, have I done it?
That's right, and if you have, then you're done.
You're done.
Cooked.
A lot of discussion around the unpardonable sin. What say you, George Koch?
Well, here's the challenge. There's only one sin that Jesus described as unpardonable, and that's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit.
How do you blaspheme the Holy Spirit?
Well, that's not quite as simple a question to answer as you and I might hope. And the fact is that theologians from all denominational stripes, Eastern Orthodox, Roman Catholic, Protestant of every stripe and type, have disagreed over and over and over again. And the truth is, nobody really knows what that expression means. Now, somebody might say, oh, yeah, I do. And you have committed that sin. But the truth is that even the best scholars, even the best pastors that we have, really are not quite sure what that means. Now, that opens up two things. One is a great fear that I might have violated that unknowingly.
Right.
And therefore, I'm doomed. I'm headed to hell. That, of course, is a vision of God, which is unsupportable by Scripture.
That's a fact. See, the point is this. God is not swift to judge. He's swift to extend mercy.
He is.
So as long as we have pulse, my goodness, people, we need to relax. Now, it is unpardonable to leave this earth while waving a fist or a finger at Jesus.
That, interestingly, if we were to settle on one thing that we think might actually be blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. One place to find it is St. Augustine. And he wrote many, many things, but there was one extraordinary letter called Epistle 185. And he addressed in it what blasphemy against the Holy Spirit really is. And here's what he said. This is the hardness of heart, even to the end of this life, which leads a man to refuse to accept remission of his sins in the unity of the body of Christ, to which life is given by the Holy Ghost.
See, I believe that that's a direct implication. And a lot of times we look at words and we don't look at them in the context of which they were spoken.
Right.
And it's important to get that. Augustine has hit some power. That's a powerful statement, isn't it?
It is, because what he's saying there is the body of Christ, the unity of that body of Christ, it's given life by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit, and it is only a hardness of heart which right until death denies it, and refuses to accept forgiveness of sins. That's what Augustine says. That is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit.
Oh, these are good words. My guest again, Dr. George Koch. The name of the work that we're walking through is What We Believe and Why. And it is good. George, the deeper we get into this, the better it gets. And I mean that.
I agree. I'm thrilled that we are able to dive deep into the faith and are not restricted just to skimming along the surface.
Well, that's important, and we're going to take a topic next week that you're going to want to be here for, Mormonism. Why would George put that under heresy? Now, there's a big move afoot to blend things together today, but we need to be careful, not for the purpose of being mean, but the truth will set you free. George, thank you.
Carl, a pleasure once again.
180.